The book of Daniel, chapter 5, we're looking at what I've been calling Daniel's resume. When Belshazzar was having his wild party there in Babylon, the night that Babylon fell, and that hand without an arm or a body wrote on the wall some cryptic words, it says the king was scared half out of his wits. Now, it says in this chapter 5 and verse 6 that when the hand wrote on the wall, the king's countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. That's a very scared person. So we called in the wise men and said, if you guys can read and tell me what this writing means, I'll make you rich and famous. And they tried and they couldn't. And then it says in verse 9, the king was greatly troubled, and his countenance changed, and his lords were astonished. So the whole party was now terrified. And we looked at this before, verse 10, the queen came in and said, don't let it bother you. Now this queen, we figured, had to be Nebuchadnezzar's widow, actually Belshazzar's grandma. Grandma showed up at the wild party. And she said, king, you're scared half to death, but there's a man, verse 11, in your kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy God. In the days of your father, light, understanding, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, that's a word for ancestor, your grandfather, made him chief over the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, explaining enigmas, was found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. What I like about this passage is the queen grandma, shows absolute confidence in Daniel. She'd lived a lifetime with Daniel around the palace for nearly 70 years. She knew this man, and we talked about the fact that wouldn't it be great, isn't it great, when we have some people in our lives who believe in us like that? You know, call in so-and-so, they'll solve it. Bring in that man, that woman, that brother, that sister, mom, dad, son, daughter. They can do it. They can handle it. Now, the last time we talked together, we looked at this passage where it says in verse 11, the spirit of the holy God is in him. And I talked to you about, do you have the spirit of the holy God in you? If so, what's the evidence? And we talked a little bit about that. I want to go immediately today to verse 12. I mean, it's nice in verse 11, understanding wisdom like the gods, etc. But verse 12 has an interesting phrase. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit was in him. What is an excellent spirit? And do you have one? Is that a good question? When you show up in the office at work, do people feel an excellent spirit just walked into the room? I've known people who walk into the room and I don't even see them walk in the room, and there is a depressive spirit that walks in the room. Have you ever met that kind of person? A depressive spirit. Somebody comes in and it's just a downer. My father's been dead for 18 years. He was a wonderful man, but my dad was a person who was a, how should I put it? He was always tense. And when Dad walked in the room, tension walked in the room. You know what I'm talking about? We just know people. They're very demeanor. There's something about them that puts a lid on things. We've often had the idea of somebody's really spiritual. You know, a really holy person, a really religious person. If they show up at a party, what's going to happen? We don't want them there. They're too religious. They'll just want to have us all sit down, stop having fun, and pray. And then they'll preach. Now, I get the feeling that Daniel, who was an incredibly religious man, he was known for one who would not even stop praying when they threatened him with the lions. From the very first time he'd arrived in Babylon, Daniel made himself known as someone who would not become a Babylonian. He was going to be a follower of his God, even if it cost him his life. And yet throughout his life, both in chapter 4 from Nebuchadnezzar and chapter 5 from Nebuchadnezzar's widow, when times were tough and they needed somebody special, they said, call in Daniel, he can solve the problem. And in both cases, they say he's a man with an excellent spirit. Now, I knew an old scholar. He was a British by the name of Leslie Harding. He's long since passed away, but he gave a definition of an excellent spirit that I remember. I've never forgotten. He said an excellent spirit is the dispositional reaction to the stimuli of life. Now, I want you to memorize that, okay? Your dispositional reaction to the stimuli of life. What in the world does that mean? It's good British English. What's your disposition? Is your disposition how you act when you plan what you're going to do? Or is your disposition how you react when you can't plan it? When somebody cuts you off on the freeway, what is your disposition? I know what mine is. I do not have Jesus bumper stickers on my car. I don't want to misrepresent the Lord. I'm seeking sanctification in that area. Are you quick-tempered? Are you quickly annoyed? Are you quickly agitated against people? Do you have a tongue that moves before the brain is engaged? How do you react when you don't have time to think about reacting? That's the real you. My dad used to use a phrase, we don't want to give anybody a wrong impression. And I realized what he was saying is we don't want anybody to see the real us. We actually want to give a false impression, which is far more rosy and satisfactory than the one they would get if they saw us when we weren't on guard. Daniel had an excellent spirit. His natural disposition, well, shall I say, at least his God-shaped natural disposition, determined how he reacted to the things in life that stimulated him. What stimulates you? What pokes you? What tweaks you? What gets you going? See? And how do you react? If I were to call some husbands up here today, you know, if I were to call Mr. Steemsma or Mike Sorovic, and say, I want you to come up here and explain to us your wife's disposition. How does she react to the stimuli of life around your house? See? Or if I were to call some wives up, say, Annie, I want you to come up and tell us how Jose reacts, you see? How does he react to the stimuli of life that happens? The dispositional reaction to the stimuli of life. I think probably there's nobody in this room today that would want our true inner spirit to be seen by all, unedited. But I believe that one of the things that can happen to each one of us if we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, if we make the commitment that Daniel made in Daniel 1 verse 8, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And he stuck with that the rest of his life. God didn't make him into a boring, party-killing downer. When Daniel walked in the room, everybody knew a positive spirit, a positive attitude, a capable person had arrived. Is that because Daniel was different than anybody else in his natural tendencies, his natural character, that's not the word I'm looking for, that personality, etc., that natural person? Or is that because his relationship with God bore fruit in his life to the point where people would say, there comes Daniel, there comes an excellent spirit? Now, I'm not going to tell you to go out and have an excellent spirit this week, because you can't do that. I do believe you can have some relationship to how you react and act in situations. You can be a downer, or you can be positive, you can be negative. But in reality, we need to connect up with the excellent spirit from on high and ask God to daily, day by day, renovate us, transform us into his image, because if God were to walk in this room today, it wouldn't kill the party. I think it would just get it going. God is not a bummer. He's not a downer. He's not out. God is not obsessed with your sins. He took care of them 2,000 years ago, so we can forget about him and move on with life. God is into people, not beating on people, but relationship. He made us to have a relationship with him. God has an excellent spirit. He wants to have a relationship with you. You can have a more excellent spirit than you have today if you hang out with God and soak it up. Have you ever noticed you become like people you hang out with? Right? So do you hang out with God? Do you have some time on a daily basis to hang out with him? It will improve your spirit. Anybody believe that? So I commend you to be a person with an excellent spirit. Now, one final point, and I'll let you go. The change in your spirit is going to happen. I heard a phrase, I've used it a lot lately, you've probably heard it by now, if you've been around here much. It's going to happen at the speed of the farm. You know what that means? If you want to have excitement, go watch the grass grow. No, that's pretty dull. But if you come back in a week, it needs mowing, right? It's grown. The things that happen in our lives with God are very much like nature. They don't happen at the speed of a Porsche out of a stoplight. They happen at the speed of the farm. God, if you hang out with him and soak in with him like Daniel did on a daily basis, your life will slowly become more excellent in your spirit. And people won't notice maybe a change tomorrow, but they will in a few weeks. That when you show up in the office, a different attitude walks in. So I urge you, hang out with God like Daniel did and ask him to give you an excellent spirit, that you will have a positive dispositional reaction to the stimuli of life. And pray for me on the freeway that I too will get an excellent spirit in that arena, and that we will all be able to put Jesus bumper stickers on our car without being afraid that we will misrepresent him. Right? An excellent spirit. Let's stand together. I want to pray for you, then I'm going to, and then we'll sing our benediction together. Lord God, I want to ask you to bless everyone here today. Special blessing of your Holy Spirit on those that were baptized. Lord, those that made a decision, burn that decision in their hearts. Help us to know just how to follow up with them and their decision for Jesus. And Lord, as we depart from this place today, thanks for a really good time in your house. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.